everyone. Welcome to the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. I'm your host, Sydney Myers, and I'm going to be joined shortly by Ashley Watkins Thomas. She is a career expert, really. She's been a recruiter for over 20 years, and now she is a career coach. She's actually been a speaker at our annual virtual summit that we do. She did a session in this year's Standout Summit. Always a big hit. She has so much to share. In this episode, in this interview, she's going to talk about how to overcome a career gap or how to address a career gap on your resume or in job interviews so that it doesn't hold you back. It doesn't keep you from getting that job that you really want. Now, Ashley is actually hosting a masterclass that will dive more into writing a resume. You can learn about that masterclass. It's going to be called the Six-Figure Resume Blueprint. You can learn about it at rightstepresumes.com/masterclass. It's going to be on June 18th at 1 p.m. Central Time. So I would recommend checking that out. I love partnering with career experts, career coaches, because it really goes hand in hand with what JobScan does. We help you to tailor your resume, to build a resume, to optimize your LinkedIn profile, to tailor your cover letter, to track your job search. Really, the whole job search process from the time you start looking until the time you get the job. But sometimes I know that people struggle with just getting that initial base resume. And JobScan has tools that helps you with that. Career experts like Ashley, they can also help with that too. So it really goes hand in hand with the tools that JobScan has. So check out the masterclass. Enjoy this interview. She has a lot of insights to share on this. I love how she goes into controlling your narrative and not letting the situation dictate what people think of you or how they perceive you. And she has some practical advice on what that means and how to do that. So enjoy this episode, enjoy this interview, connect with Ashley on LinkedIn. Let's jump in and get into how you can address a career gap on your resume and in job interviews. Thanks for listening. Well, Ashley, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining. We're going to talk about this topic of addressing career gaps on the resume. I've noticed that this is something that people are dealing with a lot because of the pandemic. Is this something you're seeing a lot too with the clients that you work with as a career coach?
Yes. I see a lot of clients who are very self-conscious too about the gaps because they know that there's a stigma attached to gaps.
Interesting. Is that so? I've always wondered, like, for job seekers, we have the idea that there is that stigma, but I've also heard that you think there's a stigma, but there's not really. So I kind of heard both sides of it. Like, is there still a stigma from recruiting or recruiters and hiring managers that when they see a career gap, that's a red flag?
Yes and no. So, the pandemic, so we look at 2020. Right. So that's when everything sort of fell apart. And as a recruiter during that, and seeing everything kind of unfold during that time, I know what happened during that piece. So I'm going to focus less on that time. Mm-hmm. But when I see things after, things sort of pick up, then hiring managers typically will have questions about, all right, well, it's 2022, it's 2023, it's 2024. Why do you have those gaps? Right. So some instances, people are asking about gaps from 10, 15 years ago. And as recruiters, we have to guide the conversations with our hiring managers to let them know what to realistically look for and what realistically matters. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on who your resume ends up in front of and what their perception is. Because some people who didn't experience any sort of downturn when it came to the pandemic and such, they don't necessarily align or really, it doesn't resonate with them. That's an issue for a lot of people. Just like it may be foreign for some people to understand that there are people who have been out of work for a year or more, and it's of no fault of their own. They were laid off, and the market is very saturated right now. There's a lot going on. It's super competitive. People are taking their time and being very cautious about the companies that they sign on to. So it may be taking some people a little longer to find employment. So I think it really depends on who your information ends up in front of and how they perceive it. But yes, there is some expectation that there will be gaps, especially when you're looking at 2020, I would even say to 2022.
Okay.
But when you get beyond that, you have to look at whether or not it was a layoff. So there will be questions. It doesn't mean that you'll necessarily not get a job because of it. You may just have to go into more of an explanation as to why those gaps occurred.
Okay. So it sounds like one of my first questions was, should a job seeker be worried about a gap in work on their resume? It sounds like that is not a simple yes or no answer. It's no. Very situational.
No, it never is. And I would say that if they should be concerned about it, because they never know who their information is going to end up in front of, right? So you don't know how that person perceives it. So if it could be a roadblock, try to address it ahead of time. You can address that on your resume. You can address it, you know, on your cover letter or in conversation when you're, you know, networking and things like that, just to go ahead and smooth it over so it's not a big issue and you can focus on what really matters, and that's how you're fit for the job.
Okay. Okay. So then it is something to address regardless, like even if it were, say, from the pandemic or during this time, whenever the job market is really saturated, like you should always address it just to be safe. You never know what the other person is going to think. So is that like, even if it's only like a 6 month career gap, is it like you should always address it in some way?
I don't feel like there's a necessity to address it at the 6 month mark. I think anything beyond the, you know, when you start leaking over into you've been out of work for a year, then it's time to think about how you will explain that, you know, on your documents. Okay. But I think 6 months, you know, that's okay. And it doesn't raise as big of a red flag for most people. You know, I've been recruiting for about 20 years up until just recently. So I don't blink when it comes to a 6 month gap. And most of my colleagues don't either. But when it extends beyond that, then maybe there's room to, you know, just be prepared to talk about that, whether it's a layoff, whether it just wasn't a fit for the company, whether you went to school, whether you're caring for a loved one, whatever that is, you can briefly explain it and you don't have to go into a whole long drawn out story. You can quickly address it and move on to what really matters. And again, that's the fit for the role. But I would say if you're in that 6 month lane, you can choose whether or not you want to address it. It usually isn't that urgent to address it.
Okay. So anything beyond a year then. Okay. And then, so since this is situational, I want to dive into, of course, how can a job seeker address a work gap or a career gap? I guess we'll dive into like the different situations. How would that affect the way that they address it? We'll start with like on their resume. What would be the various ways they can address a career gap depending on what the situation is?
Yeah. So you can address it within several different ways, right? So some people choose to use, they can adjust their dates, right? So sometimes you can use the month and year format on your resume, or you can use a years only format. And so using the years only format, visually, it does take away the fact that you've had the gap because you don't know at what part of that particular year the gap occurred, right? So you can sort of disguise it in there. But there's a downside to every, you know, trick or tip that you can use for that. There may be a downside to it. So the downside to that is if you use the years only format, is that discounting some of the years of experience that you have. For instance, if you have a gap from 2020 to 2021, right? And, you know, you want to just say that you worked somewhere from 2020 to 2021. Well, I don't know if that's the beginning of 2020, the end of 2020, or did you work into the end of 2021? So it could be a difference of an entire year that you may be missing out on, because looking at 2020 to 2021, that's 1 year. Right. But what if it was January of 2020 until December of 2021? That's 2 years. So you could be discounting the amount of experience that you have. And again, you could be raising questions that wouldn't be there if you just showed the gap. And we could be like, aha, it was a 6 month gap, moving on. But I think what's most important is to understand whatever you do to show that gap or to, you know, to make up for it or disguise it or whatever. Is it putting you in a better place, or is it somehow creating another issue that wouldn't normally be there, right? The other way that you can address it is just flat out saying it, putting a one-liner on your document that says laid off as of, you know, what day, currently seeking employment in these type of roles, right? So that's you addressing it you're telling that you're laid off and you're saying that I'm actively looking, right? So you're explaining what it was being done within that time period. If you were in school, you may say the break between, 2020 and 2023 was when I was getting my master's. All right. Makes sense that, I don't need a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions from that, especially if it's also reflected in your education section. So if it makes sense, but I'm not, if you have it that you were getting your master's, right? But I don't see a master's degree. I don't see any school on your resume. I don't see it on your LinkedIn profile. Now I have questions. So you have to make sure that whatever you say, it makes sense regardless of where the person finds you. And then the other way that you can address it is to create a separate position. And it may be a personal sabbatical. It may be career break, whatever you want to call it. And you can list the things that you did during that time. You can list any volunteer work. You can list the, courses that you took, training that you took. You can list if you took that time to travel, to care for family, whatever that reason is. Or you can list those things separately, just depending on how much room you have on your resume. And then also how important or relevant the things that you did, how relevant they are to the new job target, right? So for instance, if you volunteered, say, at a law firm and you're seeking a job as a legal assistant, it may be worth it to separate that out as an actual position. I mean, and say what you did during that time, if it was an internship or whatever the case, because I think some people get confused on whether or not they want to even list or point out those opportunities that weren't paid. And the thing is, you may not have been paid in money, but you were paid in skills, you were paid in knowledge, and you were paid in that experience.
Yeah.
So it may be worth listing it.
Yeah, I like that, if you took the time to do training, whether it was getting a degree or any sort of like certifications or vocational school, and it might have been that you were laid off and you weren't planning to take a year or two off to get training. But since you were laid off and you know you're going to have potentially this gap, a good way to, prepare for that whenever you're looking for a job is to start some kind of training. And there's a lot so maybe a degree program isn't a viable option. There's other online training courses you can take that are more affordable, but still, respected within your industry. So being able to prepare ahead of time and take the time to do that training could be helpful whenever you're doing your resume.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you do just have to look at your situation and see whether or not, is it worth it for me to take this training? Am I now getting into that sort of quote unquote danger zone where this gap is going to be an issue? Because I would say if it's 6 months or more, go ahead and address it. Address it right away. Get it out in the open. It is nothing to be ashamed of. Things happen, life happens. Mm-hmm. Things happen in your career that are outside of your control. But what you can control is the narrative that you present when it's time to interview, when it's time for your consideration for a new opportunity. You get to create that narrative going forward. And so how you present that information could make or break whether or not you're brought to future interviews or whether or not you're even offered the opportunity.
Yeah, I like that, taking control of the narrative. For example, if you're laid off and you're like, okay, I need to do something here that I can fill this gap with on my resume. So let me do some courses or something so that it's not totally blank. Or I know one example I give a lot is by another recruiter. She had a career gap and she, on her LinkedIn profile, talked about how she was a stay-at-home mom during that time. And kind of, related it to what you were saying of show how what you did is relevant to your career, whether you are a stay-at-home mom or dad, or if you were a caretaker, there might be something in there that you can't rely on that experience for getting the job, but at least you can fill that spot on your resume and still talk about things that might have been relevant to being a good employee.
Right. And remember, people hire people. And a lot of times you explaining your situation can humanize the entire process, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when things happen to you and you took the time to, you know, to care for your family, you took the time to travel the world, those can be conversation pieces. Now, I wouldn't get into, you know, the family situation, you know, all the time, right? Because that, you know, you can get into some, you know, some legalities when it comes to that. But if you took that time off to travel, and you said, you know what, I was laid off, but you know, I've been saving, I've been wanting to travel to these different places. Travel is education. You know, you have to, you know, especially if it's an immersive experience, you can definitely use that as a conversation piece. Now you can, you know, you can use it in your interview. You can use it as an interesting fact about yourself on your LinkedIn profile. So always find a way to flip it into the positive. Flip it in a way that makes either you more relatable, it solidifies your brand. Maybe it even connects with that person that's interviewing you in a way that, you know, they're like, aha, I would love to do that. I think that's very interesting. I would want to know more, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really, you know, personalizing or customizing that situation so that it you know, turns around to your benefit. We know that, you know, being out of work and not being able to pay your bills, like that's a negative. But if we flip it, you know, into the positive and keep our confidence in order, because a lot of times when you're explaining these things, these quote unquote mishaps that may have happened, you know, throughout your career, it's really how you frame it. And it's how confident you are when you're explaining it to me. If you're all meek and embarrassed and ashamed about it, you know, that projects. And now mm-hmm. I'm going to be thinking that something's wrong with what happened to you or, you know, or whatever. So, you know, be confident. Don't let that define who you are in your career, because I have been laid off and I had nothing to do with that. It was a business decision that even if I could fight for myself, there was nothing I could have done to change that decision that had already been made. So control your controllables. And that's how you are perceived or how you're presenting yourself, right? You can't control how someone else thinks about you, but you can always control how you present it to them.
Yeah, I really like that point about controlling the narrative. And some of it might require action on your part to use that time wisely while you know you have that gap. You mentioned like doing volunteer work or getting some kind of training. But it's also the way that you describe that on your resume. And so connected with that, is it like, it sounds like it's better to not try to hide the career gap. Is that right? Or is that also, again, kind of situationally?
It really just depends. My first reaction is to say, no, don't hide it, because mm-hmm. hiding it means that there's something to be ashamed of, that okay. there's something wrong that you don't want people to know. There is nothing wrong with having a career gap. There is nothing wrong with the fact that you were laid off. It was something wrong that maybe happened to you, but it doesn't make your situation. It doesn't make you wrong, right? So there's no reason to be ashamed of it. So I think if we would all just take a step back and remember that things happen to people that they can't, you know, control, worry about what this person can do for you moving forward. Not the fact that they had a gap 5, 6, 7 years ago, like that doesn't matter. You know, the pandemic happened to us all and it affected us in different ways. And we have to be cognizant of that. And we also have to give people an opportunity to share their story without this, you know, feeling of, you know, of being ashamed with it. But I would say hiding it means that you feel like something is wrong with it too, right? So that other person is also going to feel like something is wrong with it. It's similar to making mistakes. If you feel like, oh, I have to hide that I made that mistake. But mm-hmm. when you find out that somebody else has done it too, it's kind of like, oh, all right, that's not so bad. So that's why I say address it head on, own it. This is what happened. Here's where I'm headed, and quickly address it and move on to a more positive side of the situation. Another thing is don't feel compelled to always have to fill the gap. Okay. You know, sometimes you need that mental clarity. It is okay if you decide to do nothing during your gap. If you decide to do nothing after you've laid off, because sometimes it takes you doing that. Because not always do you know that you're going to be laid off. People were logging in that the morning of their layoff day, right? They were logging in that morning expecting to work and then found out that they were laid off. That takes some mental clarity to get past that. You know, so you don't immediately start doing trainings and going to sign up for a master's. Maybe some people do. But I know I wouldn't be able to do that. I would need time to regroup, figure out what my next steps are, because I thought my next step was logging on to a meeting, yeah. You know, right? So now I need time to, you know, to regroup. There may be things that I need to get done, you know, to make sure that my family can survive during this time. And that in itself is me filling my gap. So I think owning that as well, because sometimes that's hard for people to even fathom that it's okay for me to do nothing. Absolutely. Give yourself permission to do nothing. I'm not sitting in nothing. You know, you want to keep moving forward. But I think don't penalize yourself or feel like it's wrong for you to take a month or two to regroup, you know, yeah. or longer if you need it. It was mentally challenging for me to go through the pandemic. And I know that I'm not alone in that. And so taking that time to take care of myself, to experience self-care in a way that I hadn't done before, that was something meaningful for me. And it has helped me to get to where I am today. And I think the more we, again, humanize this whole job search process, the better it will be for us. Because I don't know about you. I don't bounce back that quickly when I'm devastated by something yeah. that happened to me. So I don't want to, you know, to push this, particular narrative that you have to do something to fill it in. It's not the same anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to a career coach the other day, and she was saying that part of what makes the job search so difficult for people nowadays is that they're burned out. And so they might know what they need to do and it all makes sense. And they agree like, yes, that would work, but they're so burned out. They just don't have the mental or emotional capacity to do those things. It feels overwhelming. So yeah, that taking time for yourself, that makes sense.
Right. And I think easily if you're in an interview or something and someone asks you or, you know, on a phone screen or whatever it is, it's okay to say, you know, I was really, you know, I was a little bit devastated by my layoff because I wasn't expecting it. It caught me out, you know, caught me off guard. And I decided to take this time to gain some mental clarity to regroup from that. And now I'm ready to get back at it.
Yeah. So then, are there any mistakes that you see people make? I mean, you kind of talked about some of the things you shouldn't do, but like, are there any mistakes you see people make when they have a career gap and you're just like, oh my gosh, do not do that thing?
I think feeling the need to have to make up a position, meaning that, I think it's personally okay to say that you were a stay-at-home parent.
Yeah.
That was, you know, if you homeschooled your child, whatever it is, I think it's okay to say that. I don't feel like you have to make this fancy title and, you know, make it seem like you have this company and this enterprise that you're working. I don't think that's necessary. You know, it worked for a minute when it was, you know, when it was okay. But mm-hmm. then at some point you have to just say, you know what, this is not worth it. I don't think that's getting me any, it looks like you're trying to hide something and you're trying to make it something that it's not. Call it what it is. It's a break in service and it is what it is. It's okay. You can still move forward. Another thing that people do is lie. They change the dates of the position that they had before to extend it. You know, a simple background check, if they do a skip trace, you know, on your social security number, it will show all of the jobs that you've had. So,
whoa, okay.
You know what I mean? It may not show it to, you know, the exact accuracy, but a simple background check or employment, you know, verification can reveal that those dates. Now you've got to go into, well, why is there a 2-year difference between what the employer says and what you say? Now they're asking, well, is there a way that you can provide a W-2 or a pay stub to show that you worked during that time if there's some sort of discrepancy, right? So you kind of open up, you know, Pandora's box of how to, you know, I'm trying to backpedal, you know, through this lie that I've told.
Yeah.
And I think it's just easier on you and your mental health and your well-being and your worries. If you just tell the truth, either they accept you or they don't.
Yeah. Okay.
And if they don't, I would be concerned about that. Because again, like I said, this happened to us all. It didn't, the pandemic and gaps don't just happen to certain pockets of people. We're all susceptible. It just maybe hasn't been your turn yet, but it can happen to any of us. And I think, again, that confidence that you have with explaining that and quickly moving on, you know, from it, the better things will be.
Yeah. Yeah. That was going to be like one of my next questions is that a job seeker might spend so much time like, how can I get this person to give me a chance and give me an interview despite the career gap? Is there a part there where it's like, it's inevitable that there are some people who just, for whatever reason, will not accept candidates that have a career gap. But mm-hmm. honestly, you shouldn't worry about them because, like, that's a problem they have with themselves. Like, is that what the expectation should be?
It is for me, it is for sure. As like I said, I've worked with various hiring managers with different values, with different thought processes. And the ones that I've worked with who were the most resistant to people with career gaps did not have gaps themselves. They had not experienced mm-hmm. that yet. And so I would always, you know, try to meet them in the middle, but also get them to, you know, to understand the candidate side of it, because I've always been the biggest candidate advocate, is to, you know, to ask them, well, if this job was to lay you off today and you didn't find another job for 7 months, what are you going to say to the hiring manager that didn't want to hire you? How would that make you feel? And sometimes it makes them take a step back and think about, you know what, I am being a bit unreasonable. But again, you can't count on other people to advocate for you. You have to be able to advocate for yourself. And you do that by, again, owning what it is and practicing that response. Practice saying it to people around you. Ask people what they have said to explain their gaps. See what works. What works for one company may not work for the next company when you explain it the way that you did before. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing to address it in a way that it can, you know, you can handle it from any angle. There will be people that will accept you for it, and there will be people who will challenge you on it, and you have to be ready for both.
Okay. So then should I expect, if I'm a job seeker, should I expect my job search to be more difficult or longer if I have a career gap? Or are there things I can do about it to offset it?
Yeah, so you can offset, you definitely can offset, okay. But you also have to be prepared for the challenge. Anything okay. that is just outside of the straightforward, no gaps, you're exactly the right fit for your experience or education or whatever, anything that's an outlier can be a challenge. People are having challenges who have no gaps, who have not been laid off, who have not been terminated before, who meet every qualification for the job. So you having these extra, you know, things that come along with your, you know, personal situation or your work situation, you should definitely expect those challenges. We all are having these challenges. So, okay. But I think it's easier for you to go through those things when you're prepared to speak about them and to speak about them with confidence and not letting that own, you know, define who you are, or, you know, or not wanting to own that those things actually happen to you. They don't define you. You know, you have to always remember that. I think, one thing that I did, like when I was laid off, I was ashamed. I didn't tell anybody I was laid off. Yeah, I didn't tell anybody. A couple weeks went by before I verbalized to people that I had been laid off. Like my immediate family knew and my closest friends knew. Mm-hmm. But when it came to letting, like people said, let your network know that you're looking. No, I was embarrassed because I thought yeah. it meant it would, you know, that perception would be that something was wrong with me because I was laid off. And the sooner I accepted the fact that I didn't do anything wrong, like I, you know, just came to work one day and I was asked, you know, to have a meeting and I, you know, was told I had the, you know, 45 days. Now I was one of the lucky ones who had time, you know, to prepare after the, you know, when I found out that I was laid off, I didn't just walk into work and then boom, I was, you know, I was laid off and that was it. You know, that wasn't my situation, but I still was embarrassed. There still was that whole thing of I'm out of work and I don't want people to know that I'm out of work. And I think that was what hindered me in my job search process is okay. because I was, you know, that shame that I felt for really no reason at all, because when I told people, they were more than willing to help me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. My takeaways here would be, so control the narrative, and you can do that by speaking with confidence about it. Don't let it define you. Describe what you did during that time in ways that might be relevant, and also just own it too. Like if you needed to take time for yourself, or if you needed to like gather yourself for a couple of months, like just own it. The person that you're interviewing is also a human being. They will probably understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like I said, I cannot say it enough. Confidence goes a very long way in interviews. If you're unsure, you're going to make me unsure. And now I'm going to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. And what that does, now your nerves are going. Now you're feeling self-conscious. You know, now you're not focused on all of the accomplishments that you could talk about, but you have to, you know how to shift that conversation quickly back to it. And that takes practice. You won't get it right all the time. There are times that I interview now, even having 20 years under my belt as a recruiter, I still get nervous when it comes to talking about those things that I'm not so proud of, or things that I feel like weren't exactly wins in my career. They were more failures, you know, in my mind. Right. But, you know, you, after practice and after becoming more comfortable with the situation and talking to other people who have survived what you're now going through, it gets easier.
Yeah. Okay. This was a lot of good information. Thank you, Ashley. It sounds like you have, well, you do have a ton of experience with this, 20 years as a recruiter, and then now you're doing career coaching to help people with these issues. So where can people find you to get more of this amazing advice from you?
Yes. So people can follow me on LinkedIn. I'm there at Ashley J. Watkins, but my name there is Ashley Watkins Thomas. And you can find me on my website at writestepresumes.com. And that's WRITE, like you write something down, stepresumes.com. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter a little bit, or X a little bit as well. But my main places that you can find me will be on LinkedIn and my website.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for joining. Thanks for sharing your insights. This was great. I appreciate it.
Thanks.